Good morning. Welcome to Monday Monologues. My name is Stephen Heemstra. Today is Monday, May 2nd, 2022. This morning I will talk about the Mankurt phenomena. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Merciful and compassionate Father, may your name be glorified, Lord Most High, because you care enough to model your goodness and faithfulness to all who look up and bear witness to your love. Have mercy on us, for we have not followed your footsteps, lived a holy life, or practiced healthy habits of the mind and body. May the errors we commit not be fatal, but draw us closer to you with each passing day. We give thanks for the many blessings of this life, our health, our families, and our resources. In the power of your Holy Spirit, be ever near and make us aware of your presence. Remember those suffering and heal those afflicted. Grant us strength, grace, and peace. In Jesus' precious name, amen. If centering our lives on the divine image helps us to model our lives on Christ, then neglecting or rejecting that image leaves us decentered. What does decentering look like? In the extreme, decentered people are often contenders for the Darwin Award, that is, careless to the point of being self-destructive. This week in Florida, for example, a man, obsessed that another driver had taken a shot at him, began shooting up his own car with an automatic pistol, all of which was recorded on dash cam video. While decentered people are often described as psychiatric, such descriptions focus on the effect without diagnosing the cause. When we focus on the image of God, less effort is required to maintain a healthy balance that cannot be achieved in other ways. The Turkish word mankurt refers to a slave who has forgotten who he is and, as a consequence, can be put to work doing dirty, dishonorable work without serious objection. A Turkish child carried off by mongrel raiders in the 12th century and raised as a mongrel might be described as a mankurt. A mankurt differs from a renegade in the underlying problem. A renegade has primarily betrayed his community, while a mankurt has primarily betrayed himself or herself. The mankurt's lost identity is a decentering problem, which is why the mankurt's master is able to manipulate them into taking on the most despicable activities. The child soldier is often a modern mankurt. Human traffickers employ a similar strategy when they decenter victims on drugs. Torture and brainwashing refer to similar decentering tactics used to break down and interrogate prisoners. The idea of a mankurt becomes a social problem when media, drug use, and dysfunctional subcultures decenter large numbers of people, leaving them alone and vulnerable. At the heart of this cultural crisis is a spiritual problem. We have become decentered from this image of God. The Bible cites several stories of societies that have become decentered. The most famous of these are Sodom and Gomorrah and Nineveh. The story of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah is often interpreted primarily in terms of the judgment of God on these two cities for their sexual sin, including homosexual sin. Yet the context of the story is a dialogue between God and Abraham that begins, "The Lord said, 'Shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him?'" This is Genesis 18, 17 and 18. While the judgment of the cities is topical, the story focuses primarily on Abraham's handling of God's disclosure. What does Abraham do? Abraham immediately intercedes for Sodom and Gomorrah, knowing that his self-absorbed nephew, Lot, lives near Sodom. The key phrase in Abraham's intercession is, "Will God indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked?" This is Genesis 18:23. God does not spare the cities, but he does send his angel to rescue Lot and his family. In this passage, God reveals his judgment to Abraham, a stand-in for the rest of us, to see how Abraham will react. Abraham passes the test when he exhibits compassion for the cities and engages God in intercessory prayer. The counterexample arises in the story of the prophet Jonah. In this short story, we read, "Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, 'Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and call out against it, for their evil has come up before me.'" This is Jonah 1, verses 1 and 2. God's disclosure to Jonah is similar to that of Abraham's. Nineveh is another evil city that God told his prophet that he would destroy. But unlike Sodom and Gomorrah, God offers the city an alternative by sending Jonah to call out against it. Nineveh was the hometown of Sennacherib, king of Assyria, who had seized all of Judea except for Jerusalem. Jonah hated the Ninevites, and instead of going to preach God's mercy to them, he got on a ship to escape from God and his mission. Then, as every Sunday school child knows, a storm came up. The sailors tossed Jonah overboard, and he is swallowed by a whale that after 3 days spits him up on the beach. God then repeats his request for Jonah to go to Nineveh. Listen to why Jonah refused to go. "And he prayed to the Lord and said, 'O Lord, is this not what I said when I was yet in my country? That is why I made haste to flee to Tarsus. For I knew that you are a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and relenting from disaster.'" This is Jonah 4:2. In this response, Jonah cites Exodus 34:6, which recounts God's character traits. Knowing God is merciful, Jonah refused to preach repentance to the Ninevites, but later did so reluctantly, and when they do repent, averting God's wrath, much to Jonah's consternation. While we want to focus on these examples as examples of sin, Scripture clearly focuses on our response to God's disclosures. The sin is what it is. Still, decentered people are rightly the objects of ministry. In 2012, I worked in Providence Hospital as a chaplain intern and requested assignment to the Alzheimer's unit in Carroll Manor. There I met a man who I will call Albert. Albert spent his days wandering up and down the halls in the lockdown unit. Albert would come up to you and attempt to talk, but he could only blather incoherently, which disturbed him greatly. Other patients could talk. Albert could only blather. One Friday afternoon, I recruited some patients, including Albert, to attend Happy Hour, a punch and cookie affair where they often invited musicians to entertain the patients. That afternoon, a jazz saxophonist played. My patients, including Albert, got up and danced to the music. Alzheimer's patients, unlike other seniors, always have fun because they have forgotten what it means to be shy and embarrassed. Before we were done, Albert had danced with at least 3 different women, and he came back to the unit speaking in complete sentences. His awakening lasted another 6 weeks that I know about. His joy at hearing jazz music and dancing healed him of the former blathering, a miraculous event. Alzheimer's patients can be described as time travelers, as their disease interferes with their ability to distinguish present experiences from past memories. They get lost in the clouds, totally decentered. In Albert's case, jazz music helped him center his thoughts and restore his cognitive abilities, at least for a while. In the same way, focusing on the image of God centers the rest of us. Well, that's all for today. Thanks for listening. God bless. Bye-bye.